This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Howdy, this is Jim Brackmeyer of baseball broadcast fame, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, from one legend to another, how's about we crack open a couple of pops and call a game together sometime?
I'll have to check it out with Flippin'. A good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Friday, May 7th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, well, that's your responsibility. Kind of an overcast day at Yankee Stadium as the Yankees get set to start a three-game set against the Nationals. And the Mets are actually at Citi Field, so both teams are home, and they'll play the Diamondbacks in a three-game set over the weekend. But we start off.
Here we go.
With basketball. We might be on a collision course for something I think that neither team should want. Maybe Omar from Brooklyn wants it, but neither team should want. All right, let's do the math, everybody, just for kicks and giggles. So the Knicks have been great. They really have. But now when you look at the way the remainder of the season looks, they might have had to be great. All right, so the Knicks are 37-29, and they have a two-game-in-the-loss column lead over the Hawks for the number five spot. And they have a two-game-in-the-loss column lead over the Celtics for the number six spot. So we'll start there. So the Knicks play tonight against Phoenix, and then they play both L.A. teams to finish up this trip. Let's say they lose two of these three games. Let's say the Celtics win their next two. Well, then all of a sudden, the Knicks could drop to sixth. All right, now stop. Take that all in. Now, the Brooklyn Nets on a little losing streak right now. They've lost four in a row. So the chances of them catching the Sixers, they're gone. Now, the Sixers are 45-21. The Nets are 43-24. So they're three games back in the loss column. That's not happening. The Milwaukee Bucks are essentially tied with the Nets because they both have the same amount of losses, 24. So play with me here, if you will. If the Nets drop to 3 and the Knicks drop to 6, what do we have in the first round, Peter?
Knicks-Nets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy.
Oh, May, I think I have that wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think we have that wrong.
You just did the whole elaborate
build.
No.
We do have that right. We have that right. It would be Knicks-Nets. Yeah. And then the winner of the 7-8, the 8th seed would play the Sixers. And the seventh seed would play the Bucks, and then the Nets would play the Knicks if it figures out that way. But that I think would be terrible because I think James Harden's coming back, and all of a sudden that first round possibility of a Knicks win wouldn't happen. But here's the thing that really gets me scared: the Heat are just two games back of the Knicks in the loss column. Mm-hmm. So here's the question to everybody out there listening. If the Knicks fall to the play-in game and then they get knocked out, season of failure?
Well, I would say yes, because I think we've already recalibrated, right?
See, perfect answer. Perfect.
Yeah, because you can't fall back to, wait a minute, the beginning of the season.
And Vegas had them at 22. No, you can't do that.
No, because we have officially recalibrated. Did you hear the promo before the show started where Mike Breen's like, no Knick fan in his wildest dreams would ever think this? And once that starts getting thrown out,
right,
where Knick fans are leaving the Garden chanting, we want the Nets, right, where they're a 4 seed right now with single-digit games left. A team that won, what, 10 of 11 games not too long ago?
11 of 12.
And now all of a sudden, if they drop to the play-in and get eliminated right away, well, wait a minute. You know, Vegas had us winning 27 games. No. We've already recalibrated, Mark. Like, that would be considered a disappointment. They can spin it any way they want. A Knick fan can spin it any way they want, but we would know better.
That's the way I look at it. Now, the other question would be, if they drop to 6 and the Nets drop to 3 and the Nets knock them out in the first round, would the season be a failure? And I'd have to say no then.
No.
Right? Then you have to say no because, hey, they're playing the Nets, and the Nets were built to, you know, win everything, and the Knicks are in the first round against the Nets, so they weren't that bad, and they actually made – because you could actually say if you make the play-in and you don't win, you didn't make the playoffs.
Right. Absolutely.
It's like the Rangers last year, right? They didn't make the playoffs.
Technically, they didn't. It was a qualifying round. Nowhere does it say they were a playoff team. They played in the postseason because they weren't regular season games, but they were not a playoff team. No. They had to win that round because of the pandemic to get in. So that's the same way I feel here. Now, the NBA will probably look at it as you being a playoff team. But
I don't know if they would.
I don't know if I would consider it that, especially when you're flirting with the 4. Now here's the interesting conversation to me. I'm prepared to say this. That really the only way I think a Knicks fan can really feel disappointed if they don't get out of the first round, if they finish 4 or 5. If they finish 6 and play anybody, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Nets, you can't expect to win and be disappointed if you lose.
See,
if they play Atlanta, then I could see a Knicks fan saying, you know, we should have beat Atlanta, I'm disappointed.
So there's so many variables to this, and it makes a lot of sense, Don. If they finish 4th or 5th and lose in the first round, you could be disappointed. If they finish 6th and they lose in the first round, you can't be disappointed. They lost to a better team. And if they finish 7th or 8th and lose in the play-in round, you could really be disappointed. So they have really made us recalibrate our expectations. I wonder if fans feel the same way. 1-800-919-3776, I wonder.
To me at this point, if they don't play a full playoff series, huge disaster. And frankly, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm at the point where if they don't really compete in a first-round playoff series, have a chance to win it, I'm disappointed.
Wait, even if they play the Nets?
Oh, then I could recalibrate at that point, but that shouldn't happen.
Now, Karen Veenstra is a friend of the show.
She sure is.
She's almost like a sister to me.
Wow.
Well, and you don't even have a sister.
I don't.
So you don't know what it's like to have a sister.
I don't know.
So it could be this.
I have a sister.
It could be this. You know, see her once in a blue moon, occasionally get a tweet.
Right.
She says, isn't that everyone's own personal fan decision? Not everyone recalibrates. People would be disappointed, sure, but isn't this all bonus when we started the season not expecting much of anything? Listen, you can live in that dream world, Karen, but sorry, life changes. And when you win 11 to 12 games and you're sitting there as a 4 seed late in the season, if you're not calibrating, then what are you doing? I mean, you're just going to live your life where your expectation never changes? This team has proven to you that they are a playoff team. They have proven that to you over a long stretch of time. Going into the season, we were basing it on last year with a different coach, a different set of circumstances. So our expectations were 0 because we didn't know what to expect. But now you've played 60-plus games? How do you not recalibrate? The coach is phenomenal. He's going to win Coach of the Year. Randall's going to finish in the top 5 of MVP. You're sitting there as a 4 seed. If you're not calibrating, you're not trying. You're not doing anything.
Peter, have you ever heard anybody talk to their sister like this?
Well, but you know what? It's better than it being another way, but it's...
But maybe you can argue my tone, but am I not giving facts, Peter?
No, you're it's factual.
You know, it's hurtful.
It's hurtful.
I'm a big Karen Veenstra fan.
No, but I just think not everybody recalibrates. That might be true, but so you're sitting there winning 11-12 and still saying, "Hey, this is all." I didn't expect anything. Well, now you should expect something. See, people that don't recalibrate, Michael, of a season like this, they're afraid to dream. They don't want to get hurt, so they say, That way I can't feel any pain if they fall to the play-in. I won't feel any pain if they get bounced in the first round because I never recalibrated from the beginning of the season. I'm sorry. Being a fan means you got to put yourself out there, right?
And you've like, always been a dreamer, if anything.
It's like what do you go out there hoping to get the job, hoping to find the love of your life, and there's going to be disappointments in the world.
Sure.
But you put yourself out there.
You're saying better to have loved and lost.
Right, exactly, and that you recalibrate. I didn't expect to fall in love today, but you know what? I did. And so I'm going to get hurt if we end up breaking up. Not like, well, I woke up today not meeting anybody, so that's okay. No. If you really want to celebrate and feel good about a championship, that championship feels good because of all the scars you had in the past of when you dared to dream and got disappointed. If you never recalibrate and just as a bubble live life like whatever, then you really can't appreciate the championship.
I got to tell you what, though. I think Peter will take exception to this. I've always wondered about it's better to have loved than lost. I don't know. So if you've loved and then you lost and your heart is broken, if you never loved, your heart never got broken.
Then don't leave the house. Don't do anything. there's a lot of people that have decided to live their life that way. That they're great with just being average. Right? That way they're never really disappointed
and
they're willing
and
to
lost.
Sacrifice, never really, you know, reaching the climax of anything because they've decided I'd rather just live average. That's sad to me.
Yeah, but if you love, right, and then you give your all and you love, and then that love breaks your heart, it's devastating.
It's devastating.
So isn't it better to have not loved than not be hurt?
So never feel anything is what you're saying.
I didn't say that.
No, you are saying that. I'm trying to extrapolate outward.
I'm just saying.
You are saying that. Because
You know what? Tranquility is a good feeling. You don't have to feel the highs and the lows. I like tranquility.
I just want to be clear. Today's show. Today's the day we're fighting it out between is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? Today's the day.
We're tying it into sports here because that's what we're talking about. Knicks.
Well, how about you, Peter? Is it better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all?
No, I'm an interesting person to ask that to.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is why you did it, because you're a bad guy.
bad guy, good radio.
No, it's absolutely better to have loved and lost. I mean, who?
Really? Interesting.
Come on, to have spent your whole life? I mean, in your house, and you don't get to have the experiences.
Why do you guys automatically say without loving that you stay in your house? You could be out and about, have good times, but not love and then lost. It's better to have loved and not lost.
Okay, well, then apply it to basketball. Yeah, okay, you want to root for a team every year where there's no consequences? You still get to play 82 games. No one gives a damn, but you get to play.
Right.
Or you get to go on these runs that mean something and everyone's dialed in and the whole league's talking about you and you have a chance at glory. No, you got to go for it. You can't be Veenstra. Love you, Karen. You got to adjust. You got to recalibrate. You got to dream.
Well, I always heard that when the one of the greatest games I've ever was at as a fan was when the Giants beat the Vikings in that championship game in 2000.
Oh, what a game. What a game.
Now, they go to the Super Bowl and get destroyed, and I would get, like, non-Giant fans saying, geez, wouldn't you have rather just lost to the Vikings and not go through that whole thing?
I think it's a great point by them.
I'm like, no, because I got to enjoy the win against the Vikings. And it came, obviously, at the expense of losing 2 weeks later in the Super Bowl.
Right, but remember how you felt after those 2 weeks when they lost? You were devastated. You would not have felt devastated if you lost to the Vikings. You felt devastated losing in the Super Bowl.
Now, this can't happen anymore because of the 17-game schedule, but going back to the 16-game schedule then, Peter, what Michael's saying is they'll just finish 8-8 every year. That way your team's competitive. You never really get hurt with the team being awful.
The
team never competes for a championship, so you can't be disappointed. Just be average your whole life.
If you go to the championship and win, isn't it great? But if you go to the championship and lose, isn't it better to not have gone at all?
No, because then I would have missed out on that great moment when they beat the Vikings.
I get that, but then you also suffer the excruciating pain of a loss.
But that's the highs and lows of life, brother.
Well, you know what? I try to avoid those.
And here's the problem with the Veenstras of the world.
And the Michaels.
And the Michaels of the world. Is that they never...
But I have recalibrated, so don't put me in a Veenstra camp.
But the reason that you celebrate the win, the reason the win feels so good is because of all the losing that you went through and the feeling that you felt then you could feel the difference and really appreciate it. So you have to have the ebbs and flows, the extremes, the yin and yang for it all work out. Otherwise, you really don't appreciate the great moment. And then you don't appreciate the low unless you felt the high. Karen, you got to live life.
Let me throw this at you, Don. You get the ESPN gig to do the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Right? You get it. You're the lead play-by-play guy at ESPN. You do the Stanley Cup. You're an absolute train wreck and you lose the job after one Stanley Cup. Wouldn't it have mattered not to get it? I'll wait.
No.
Peter?
I mean, that's an awful example.
I'm just saying.
Well, hold on.
Because then that's on me for failing and not being prepared to do it.
Well, according to Michael's theory, Don, you remember when things in my life sort of went haywire?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, everyone remembers it well. And on top of it all, I ended up, then WWE didn't call me back, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Now, according to Michael's world, I would be better off never having gotten to work there at all for a couple years.
Because they did call you back, so it worked out.
In the end, it did. But at the time, I didn't start working there again until I accepted. Hey, you know what? It was a fun run. Never thought it would have happened. And then it so happens that it came back, which is great in some other sort of life lesson. But to you, you'd go, oh, I wish they never even called. I wish I'd never gotten to have the experiences in the first place.
If you never got it again, yeah, I think it might have been the best way. Yeah.
No. You know what? Remind me again what your golf coach said about you yesterday.
I've got a lot of quit in me.
That's right. And yeah. This Don, here it is again.
Yeah, that's and it's sad. And you don't, Karen again is like, well, can't you enjoy the ride? Yeah, but in order to be in, when you say enjoying the ebbs and flows of all the things that go in, but if you're not ebbing and flowing and you're just everything is static your entire life, then how much are you really enjoying it? Right?
But see, you're a liar. I'm sorry, Don. You know I love you, but you're a liar and a fraud.
All right.
You don't enjoy Andy Chavez's catch because they didn't win the championship.
I don't. I enjoyed it in real time, and then I got devastated when they lost the game. What I say is I don't honor it. I don't look back at it fondly.
Why not?
Because they lost.
So then once they lost, then that cheapened the catch to you.
Yes, it did.
Okay, that's my point. You're witness.
No. It's not.
I don't even know what the heck the point is that you're making.
Yo, that wasn't apples to apples. That was like apples to
wrenches, as Michael likes to say.
Not even quite that, though. It was more like a different language version of apples. It was just something else altogether.
Wow, Steve Brzezinski really put it together well on Twitter.
What
Peter,
did he say?
You love this.
Sure.
Great at being average and not reaching the climax. Sounds like a fascinating Netflix documentary based on Ballard's life.
Oh, my God.
Ballard.
Of all the conversations we had about that situation, you say that.
Peter, I got to tell you one thing. You have an eye under your left armpit, so it looks like you're wearing a sweatshirt that says Al.
It is.
Oh, because I go like this.
Right. I was going to ask you, who's Al? Are you a big American League fan? I didn't know which way you were going, but the I in Ali.
Yeah, I'll leave the arm up there. Yeah, I'll leave the arm up so you can tell.
Now it looks like you're talking about
Al. 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 Al.
Yeah, but it's apples to wrenches, Michael, because, again, why years later am I celebrating that catch when in the same game was one of the most devastating losses ever? But I don't regret, I don't look at that whole season as a waste, saying, well, geez, I wish we just finished 500 and not even made the playoffs so I didn't have to go through the pain of Carlos Beltran taking that final third strike. Now, the 04 situation, Yankee fans should try to throw that away because they've won a bunch of championships, and 04, they did something no team in the history of baseball ever did. So that's why 2004 is a little bit of a different situation. But for a Knick fan, and a lot of these Knick fans here have never seen a championship, ever.
Yeah, the last one was 1973.
So they felt the pain. And you can't be calling up and start, we want the Nets, and calling up thinking this team can win a championship, and then all of a sudden fall apart in the last couple of weeks of the season and sit there and go, well, I had no expectations anyway, so I'm not upset. The second you start chanting, we want the Nets, Peter, you start fantasizing about making a run, now you've recalibrated, now you've got to own that moment. Now, it works this way. Let's say they lose every game the rest of the year. Well, maybe you recalibrate again and go, oh, my God, we're not that good, and then be pleasantly surprised if they actually get out of the play-in or something, or even make it to begin with. So you're always kind of refiguring everything out. And one loss to Denver in the third game in four nights should not make you all of a sudden panic. And these are three really good teams they're playing. Michael, they can lose these next three And I'm not sure they're any different than they were when they went on this road trip.
Well, I think they could get fortunate because, in a terrible way, Anthony Davis hurt his ankle yesterday. It looks like LeBron's going to miss that game too. So they have a chance to beat the Lakers, and no Dennis Schroeder either. So they could win that. I think it's going to be a very fascinating game tonight because they lost that heartbreaker to Phoenix at the Garden, and now this is a rematch. And also, if Tibbs doesn't win Coach of the Year, Monty Williams will. And it will be because Monty Williams won. He's done an unbelievable job. Chris Paul could be the MVP of the league. So this game tonight, which you can hear on 98.7 ESPN, is fascinating to me where it goes from here. Now, Tim Ramsdell on Twitter, he quotes Garth Brooks. I could have missed the pain, but I would have had to miss the dance. I would have missed the dance if it was painful at the end, even if I had a great time at the dance.
Well, that's sad for you, and you are someone. You are like one of those wind-up toys that's just banging against the wall, not going anywhere.
Shining Wizards Kevin writes, when this argument first started, I couldn't have disagreed with Don Moore, but this love and loss dare to dream comparison to the Knicks is the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. It should be taught
wow.
in universities.
Thank you. That's special, Don.
That's nice.
See, this
right?
is why I get upset and want to punch Peter in the face when he says that the only reason I win arguments is because I don't shut up and I'm loud.
Not,
sometimes they actually
true.
Make cogent points.
God, I was making an argument.
Dead.
Oh boy! Now Peter's shirt says AII.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Well, not
ow.
To mention the shirt looks like he's
ow.
In it's an inmate shirt at the Ali Prison for Men.
Excuse me?
The Ali Correctional Facility for Men. Doesn't it look like that, Michael?
It's not a shirt for TV, but you know he does what he does.
Hey,
he
listen,
does him.
You know what that is? That's a shirt you wear to bed.
All right, you know what? That's a bridge too far. This is a beautiful, comfortable shirt. By the way, if you look it up, it's just like the one Ali wore when he was training. I don't even know
sweating
what you guys are
in
wearing
and
today.
Like, yeah, so that's what you wear,
Don. I mean, so you're. Oh, really, Don? I just looked up what you're wearing. Don looks like today as if he works at 98.7, but 98.7 is a Ruby Tuesdays. That's what Don's wearing. And he's got the nerve to talk about me? How dare you,
this
sir?
This is a very, very nice shirt.
No, it's not.
It has the logo of the station
no.
that has made us tons of money.
Applebee's makes tons of money.
You look like you're out in the yard.
Also, Don, Ryan Hurley, our PD, is going to point out that the logo is on the left breast, which is what he wants for the T-shirt.
Yeah, but there's nothing on the back.
Except your broad shoulders, my friend.
Thank you.
So somebody's misfortune made me feel a little bit better yesterday.
Hmm.
I don't know if I should use that as a teaser, just tell you quickly. Anyway, I'm a big George Clooney fan.
All right.
Why wouldn't you be?
I think he's an unbelievable-looking guy. Whenever I talk about great-looking guys, they say, well, you look like George Clooney. Anyway, he cut some video for a promo that he's doing about giving away a trip to Lake Como.
Hilarious.
Right? Very funny.
I saw it, yeah.
But the one thing I hate about my appearance now, as I've gotten older.
You've narrowed it down to one.
I said one. Okay, one of the things.
Okay.
And I've lost the weight is that you kind of have like a saggy neck.
Yeah.
And I hate it. And I actually, because of that, I like wearing ties because it kind of tightens it up a little bit.
Right.
It's heinous. And it just screams 60 years, 60 yeah. years on Earth. But then George Clooney had it. And I said, yes. Did you see it, Don? He has that turkey neck thing going.
I mean,
too.
I don't look at people the way you look at them.
Well, I do.
I just appreciate it. It was a funny video, Peter. And the one thing I took is what's underrated about George Clooney is his voice. Tremendous pipes. But it's
not,
a very funny
like yours,
bit. It's Peter, it's basically he was picking something up that he bought on Craigslist from a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the stay-at-home order was implemented, so he had to stay at the guy's house for the last year. And the guy's like, got to get him out. And George thinks that they're the best of friends.
Where was this? What was it a part of?
It's a promotional video. Something. He's doing something for his foundation. Where you can win a trip to Lake Como in Italy to hang, like, with him. And it's all going to his charity. And he used this as a promotional vehicle for it. And it's very funny. You'll find it. It's all over.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually win. Like, he'll put you up in the best hotel in Lake Como. And then you and your friend hang with he and his wife, Amal. at their house. And there's going to be security, I'm sure, out the yang, but it's a fun promo. I think we should do a promo like that where everybody or a listener gets to stay at Don's house and swims in the pool.
And Lake Como is where the LaGrecas are from, my father's side of the family.
And Lake Como is where Ryan Rucco was going to get married, but they had to cancel it twice.
For pandemic reasons.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, they're married now.
And you said also, you're good, this, Peter.
I'm good on the trip to stay with Clooney and his wife. And I like Clooney.
You'd stay at a first-class hotel, but you'd hang with him.
Yeah, I'd have a drink with Clooney and his wife, sure.
Oh, so big of you. Thank you. But when you're there, you would notice the neck like I did, and it made me feel better about me.
He's the modern-day Cary Grant.
He is. And what am I the modern-day? Not much.
Something else special.
No, you know what? I was going to go with some old-timey announcer.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a better life than those guys did.
How do you know what my life is? Are you indoors with me?
That's a great point.
I'm complimenting your life.
But out of ignorance, you have no idea what my life is. Every day, it's trial and error. Every
I
day,
bet your
it's
family.
Angst. Well, my family's great, but my life, you know,
I don't think Mel
everything.
Allen had the life away from baseball that you do.
How do you know that? How do you know
it? It's a guess. It's an educated guess.
How could you know that?
He's a nice man.
Was he happily married with two beautiful children?
I don't think he ever got
married. In a mansion that's got its own zip code?
You know, let's
Peter,
let's
we had a barbecue as a wedding. I've been to weddings that paled in comparison to his barbecue. He's doing very well.
But
what did Mel have? He voiced over This Week in Baseball. You got Yankees. You've got Center Stage. You've got an afternoon drive show. You're doing better than all those guys.
We haven't taped the Center Stage show in 2 years because of the pandemic. Do you realize that? But we have a book coming out on June 15th. You can order now at Amazon.
Right.
How about that?
Russ Hodges have a book out? No.
Who?
Did Russ Hodges have a book? No.
He might have.
Or he might have. I'm going to guess no. Did he have a beautiful wife and two gorgeous children?
I don't know the Hodges.
Did he have a mansion?
I don't have a mansion.
I heard he
lived
in squalor.
Don't tell people I have a mansion.
You heard he lived in squalor.
Wow.
I'm paying the guy a compliment, Peter, and he won't accept it.
Because you're insulting other people at the expense of my compliment. I won't have it. I want
everybody
to be happy.
The squalor thing was just a joke. I'm sure I watched 61. Mel Allen did well. But I don't think he did as well as you.
He did very well.
You can never rate another man's happiness.
No, I'm not doing that.
Very deep.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that he's got his life away from baseball is very good. How he deems it to be happy, you know, I could probably judge and say he's probably not nearly as happy as he should be.
And you
right,
we've
already established that.
Now, when we come back, Peter's going to be wearing a Larry Holmes mouthpiece, previously used, so that's going to be fun. Stay tuned for that. The Michael Kay Show.
I'm going to change now.
On 98.7 ESPN, maybe a Floyd Patterson robe would be a good thing to put on the air, is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both. For over 75 years, I think in 20 years of doing the show, this is one of the oddest opens we've ever had, and I love it.
It's really strange.
I love it, though. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, and we'll take your phone calls, too, on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Peter, I guess I got to congratulate you. Big moment for you yesterday.
Who?
I don't even know if you know.
Me?
Hell yeah.
What?
You reached a new audience yesterday, my friend.
Interesting.
On Fox News, Tucker Carlson used a clip of you and Ebro interviewing a mayoral candidate, Eric Adams.
Eric Adams?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. You were on with Tuck.
My boy Tuck.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I thought
really
like
a big
that.
Fan of your work.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Jake Tapper. Did we talk or was it just Eric Adams?
I was just notified. Oh, I wasn't watching, but I was notified that you were. I don't know the extent whether or not your voice was heard.
We've interviewed so many candidates. About time one of them pops up somewhere.
Have you had Andrew Yang on yet?
Oh, many times.
I'm told by somebody who saw it, they did not have you speaking. They had your face on in the four box.
It's a good-looking face. There's no denying that, so good on
Andrew
them.
Andrew Yang's a fraud, by the way.
Who is?
What's his team situation?
He was a Knick fan, and now he loves the Nets. Stop yourself. Doesn't work.
Wow, Brett
Monroe. You're
going to
tick everybody off.
Brett Monroe on Twitter goes, I usually agree with Don and Peter, but I've never felt closer to Michael Kay than I do today.
Mike's got a sad life.
Sebastian H. goes, trying to work here, guys. Cracking up from the opening segment. Amazing.
So real quick, you get the call tomorrow.
Yeah.
Michael, you've done a tremendous job for us. We love it. But we, the New York Yankees, are going a different direction with the organization broadcast-wise. We wish you the best of luck. There's a check in the mail for a handsome sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. You would have rather never had the job?
No, because I've had it for 30 years. I've been able to luxuriate in it and rub
my body in it.
But
that would still be love and loss.
I said to Don, if he got the Stanley Cup job and lost it after 1 year because he was dreadful, then you'd rather not have it. I had a 30-year run. Whatever happens after here, I can reconcile myself with that and then work constantly to undermine the person that took over for me. But I would still be glad I had my chance.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to the phones.
Shall we?
Let's do it. Let's go to James in Queens. Jimmy, start it off.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. You?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm all right. First of all, I want to say I agree with both of you. I mean, I disagree with both of y'all. Michael and Don. Peter didn't say too much. And can I tell you why?
Okay.
All right. Don, first of all, all of this, we have to recalibrate and all of that. Us as Knicks fans, we have been living in dread for 25, 30 years. I'm 36 years old, and I've never seen them win. I've seen them be competitive in the 90s, but I've never seen them win. We finally have something to look forward to. Why are we supposed to be looking for a reason to be angry about the season? We started this season not thinking about anything positive like this. So to have it and to see stability, that's positive. We love that. We don't want to be negative. We've been negative for 30 years.
Well, you're not.
And then Michael, you started off the show with that negative energy, and I disagree with that.
Well, what negative energy? It's just that you now have big games to play. Like, you're going to watch tonight hoping to win, right? You want to get that four seed, don't you?
I will put it this way. After winning 12 of 13, James, right, if you somehow tumbled into the play-in game, there's no way you're not disappointed. They have proven that they could play with anybody. So if they hit a rocky patch over the final six games, you are going to and should be completely devastated. I'm not saying they're going to hit that patch. I'm just laying out the what-ifs. Well, and one of the likely what-ifs could be they finish sixth and the Nets finish third, then the Nets all of a sudden get back James Harden, and the Nets are then the best team in the NBA, and you could get swept out of the playoffs. So that I don't mind, but I mind if you drop down into the play-in spot.
Hey, Michael is speaking facts here.
Spitting them.
This is when things get recalibrated, because the ship is long sailed away about, like, how happy we are. Look at the Knicks proving everybody wrong. Now, as a four seed, as a team that is eight games above 500, now they should be treated as such. And now by being treated as such, now they've got three games left on this road trip, Michael, and it's going to be tough to win them. Suns are really good, already beat the Knicks at the Garden, and then the two LA teams. All right, now if LeBron and Davis don't play, little bit of a situation, but all we're saying is there's a pretty decent possibility, as good as the Knicks are, that they can come back home on a four-game losing streak. And if you do that, you might find yourself falling back into the play-in. That's all we're saying. Now, if you don't like that, well, I don't know what to tell you, but that's the truth. Because now we're big boys. Now we're treating the Knicks for what they are.
A good team.
And we're treating them as a really good basketball team. And that's how real good basketball teams get talked about, just like the Nets. We're not talking about the Nets from years ago, just happy that they're in a situation. Now we're talking championship for the Nets. Why? Because they are championship caliber. We're talking about you the way that you are. And if you're not happy that the Knicks are that good, I don't know what to tell you. This is the reality.
Let's go to Brandon He's in Charlotte. Brandon.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I'd love to get to the Knicks fan, recalibrating. But if I could first comment on the to have loved and lost conversation.
Talk to us.
So, I mean, I'm talking as a fan, obviously. I know you guys kind of brought your careers into it and your arguments. But as a fan, I think it's kind of completely situational. Like, I'm with Don that I would rather the Giants make the Super Bowl and then get embarrassed than not make it.
Absolutely.
But, Michael, I'm also a Yankee fan first and foremost, where if I go back to 2019 in Houston, I wish DJ grounded out instead of hit that homer because he put me on such a high, and then minutes later I was at such a bigger low than I would have been.
Right. So if they had just lost without DJ hitting the homer, you could have accepted it. But then Altuve getting buzzed the right pitch, that bothered you. Another one that you could think of too, Brandon, would you rather have had the Yankees lose in the ALDS in 2004 rather than meet the Red Sox and lose the 3-0 lead?
Actually, I was about to say to you, I wish they would have lost game 3 in 2004 ALCS, and it wouldn't have been the 3-0 blowout.
Right, right.
But they won that one
19-8.
Right. And all I'm saying is you're absolutely right about the LeMahieu home run. Like, don't even hit it, because look what did you do? Like, because 15 minutes later, you're in pain. Now, imagine me as a Met fan, like, if the Yankees had, like, a top 10 moments of the last 10 years and, like, DJ LeMahieu's home run is third. You'd be like, what are you, nuts? That's what the Chavez catch is to me, because the Chavez catch, the Mets had like a bobblehead doll out of it. It's one of the top 10 moments of franchise history. Wait a minute. A half hour later, Carlos Beltran strikes out looking. I don't want to celebrate it. I liked it in real time, but I'm not celebrating the damn thing.
It's all situational with the loved and lost as a sports fan, I think.
Yes.
But as far as the Knicks, I'm a huge Knicks fan as well. And I think you're right. The only way as a fanatic is to constantly recalibrate, kind of. And right now, I fully expect to win a playoff series. That's what my thinking is as a Knicks fan after seeing what they can do against tough competition. But if they do falter and kind of fall apart through the end season, fall into a playing game, lose the playing game, I'm absolutely going to be devastated in the moment. But once the dust kind of clears, I'm going to be able to recalibrate again and still say this season was a success in that we got great showings from our youth. We have so many future picks. We still have a ton of cap space, and we improved in so many areas, and we have the right coach and front office.
Brandon, I got to tell you, and I don't usually hand out these kind of compliments. One of the top 10 calls in the year so far.
Wow.
That was good.
Thought-provoking.
Thank you.
You broke it down for the people. So, yeah, you recalibrated. They lose in a play, and you're going to be devastated. Then you take a step back and recalibrate. Hey. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem that bad. I love it.
Because as you're like, if they do have that disappointment, Michael, of falling to the play-in and then having to lose and you're disappointed, and even if you looked at the season as a failure, I still think there's enough going on here that during the course of the summer, you could really look forward to next season and feel like they're moving in the right direction.
Did you see this news, guys? Former Met manager Bobby Valentine, or Valentin, if you'd like, but I call him Valentine, is running for mayor of his hometown of Stamford, Connecticut, as an independent.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he is like the mayor of Stamford. He owns a great restaurant there. He was born there. He grew up there. He is a big part of the firmament of that city. So he's running for mayor at the age of 70. Good for him. Good luck, Bobby.
Well, he definitely, from a campaign standpoint, has got a lot going for him, right? People are going to know who he is.
Yeah, recognition's the key. Also, when we come back, we have a big, startling announcement later on in the show.
Really?
Yeah, startling. Because when I heard it, I was startled.
Wow. All right.
So that'll be sometime, probably 5 o'clock hour, big announcement. Everybody,
Peter, he's
call
got a
your
bad
friend.
History with this. So.
Yeah, your reputation over the last 6 months of doing this is really bad. So.
I really couldn't care less. I'm telling you, it startled me. I think it's going to startle
people.
I think
it's could care less, isn't it?
No, it couldn't. That'll be in the 5 o'clock hour. Big announcement about today.
About today.
Yeah.
But it's startling.
No, I don't know this.
It startled me.
No, I have no idea.
It startled me.
I'm predicting it's about Dave Rothenberg.
It's not. That's the last thing I'll make you guess. But it is not about Rothenberg, who has a terrific podcast, and I heard he's making great money off of it, too.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So I get a text the other day, Don, from John Giannone. And he said, I'm in the Michael K. Show studios. I guess he was doing play-by-play for the Knicks, I think.
Right.
And I said, well, you were there before me.
Sure.
And he goes, no, you've been here. They said you've been here. I said, I have never stepped foot in that building yet.
Who said that?
I don't
know
who told
him. Who's that ill-informed?
I don't know. He said, they told John, Kay's been here. You're sitting in the seat where he does the show. And I've never been there. I've never been there. I start to question whether I'll ever step in there.
We do the Rangers from that booth. Okay. I don't know where he is tonight because the Knicks are on the other side.
Is he doing this isn't today. This was a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he did the Knicks a couple of days ago. If you walk in, there's a big, big studio that's going to be ours, Michael, where we do the Rangers, and the Knicks were, on the other side. The studios are very spacious,
Is it bigger than the other studio in the other building? Yeah, really. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things in there, and they've, of course, got the big TV, so we can do the game off the monitor. Like tomorrow, the last game of the season, I'll be doing it off the monitor. Once that's all moved out, you'll see how spacious it is. The new studios are great, but you're probably never going to see them.
Why do you say that?
Just my knowledge of you. That I think that you're very comfortable with the way things have gone here. As bad as the pandemic has been, the one positive has been this situation. And you'll make it work for yourself. But there might be an occasional meeting or something, right, Peter, where they want to get all together. Or maybe Michael's got something in the city and figures, I'll just do the show from here today.
You make me out to be like I'm running the place. Tim McCartney says you got to be there. I got to be there. That's all there is to it.
I had somebody in the know that told me.
Great employee.
When are we going back? And it's up to Michael. That's what I heard.
Really?
Somebody in management told you that.
No.
Then why are you listening? So somebody on the street, you're just walking by them?
No, come on, Peter. We call him the transmitter for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Michael doesn't want to come back. He doesn't come back.
No. The thing is, though, Michael doesn't always realize his own power.
No, that's for sure.
So he might actually scramble, I think I have to go in, instead of saying, you know what, go scratch. Because that's what I would do.
Yeah, you realize your own power. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina. It's beautiful in South Carolina, right, Mike?
It's absolutely gorgeous. How you doing, guys?
Great.
It's a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Well, thanks for calling.
No, thank you. I just had a comment regarding the Yankees lineup. I was curious in your thoughts regarding LeMahieu actually going to third instead of Andujar going to third base and having LeMahieu back at first.
You know what? It's a great question. I don't know why they did it that way, unless they've really soured on Andujar playing third base. You would think that, he's played third base before. He almost won Rookie of the Year there in 2018. And LeMahieu obviously can play first, but they must think that LeMahieu is a better third baseman than Andujar. And they just rather have Andujar at first base. That's the only. I don't know if Boone has been asked that today, but it is. It's a great question, and I wish I would have thought of it sooner. Here he is, Peter. I know you love to have him on the show, the Grifter from Connecticut. Grifter.
Hey, the other guy answered my question. I was thinking of my. The other guy asked my question. I was thinking to myself while I was hearing you call the lineup. Why is LeMahieu not playing first and Andujar's playing first?
You know what? Maybe
you could have Meredith ask Boone that.
Well, he's already had a Zoom conference, so I will text him and I'll see if he answers me.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's inside stuff.
Wow.
Okay. How's that for you, Grifter? I'm doing it just for you.
Thanks, because I'm wondering why he's doing that. That's really been my one that I've been sitting here wondering. Other than that, I don't mind what lineup he put out there today, because I think Stanton in that two-hole is working perfectly because he's hitting like a machine right now.
What are you doing this weekend, Grifter?
I'm going to hang out, watch some Yankees, listening to you. Who are you calling the game with today?
Paul O'Neill.
Well, but what else?
You and
what else you got planned, though, Griffin, besides the Yankees?
Well, my brother is, my twin brother, he's heading up for his summer class up at, forgot what college he goes to.
That's wow. Just disgraceful.
Wentworth. Griffin, not, you're not, I guess you're not that close. Okay.
Wentworth. Up in Mass.
You and your brother, you and your twin brother ever go out on like double dates?
No.
Why?
We go out places.
But no double dates.
Are you identical?
No, they're so far from each other.
We're so far from each other. It's kind of funny.
Who's better looking?
When we go out. I say I am, but he will say he is.
Oh, the nerve.
No, we go out together. We had a cruise earlier in the summer, and we went out last before this whole pandemic. We went out together on the cruise, and we did stuff on the cruise together. So
did stuff.
We hang out together. We
what
hang
stuff
out
did
together.
You do? A little shuffleboard?
Why do you bring it down to played, that, Don?
We played some basketball. We went in the ocean together.
Oh, beautiful.
And pushed each other in the water.
Have you ever thought about drowning him?
No,
so a little horseplay. A little basketball, a little horseplay.
Do you guys consider any grab ass?
No.
Griffin. How old? Griffin, how old are you and your brother?
I am 22. I just turned 22 in April.
Happy birthday.
Wow.
You know, Peter, since they're twins, you could have just asked how old Griffin was. You would have known how old his brother was.
You know what? It's a fair point. By you.
And also, what a sick question. I got rid of Grifter because, I mean, it was a sick question. I don't even know
what
if
he
got on the air.
It's actually what it was on everybody's mind. He asked the question that if he didn't ask it, I would have.
Thanks.
Because if somebody left out, like, who we were talking about.
Right.
And talking about twins going on a cruise.
Right.
Going into the ocean together.
Right.
Pushing each other around, a little horseplay.
Yep.
You start fantasizing, right? Like, whoa.
Well, I wouldn't
use
that word.
Then you find out
choice.
It's the grifter and his brother, and you're like severely disappointed.
Wentworth.
Right. This is not.
I got to tell you. I want to tell you right now. Hold on. I want to say this right now. He hasn't always been this way. Griffin is on a Giancarlo Stanton-like roll right now. He is rolling.
It's one of the greatest performances we've ever seen in the history of the show.
He's going to have his own bracket because he had at least four drops in that call. That's the most drops we've ever had in one call.
Well, can I, Anthony, get the thanks again?
Thanks.
We had the Wentworth.
And
just pushing each other around in the ocean.
That's fun, though. You can only... It's almost like that scene from The Naked Gun when Leslie Nielsen and Priscilla Presley are walking. What was the song they're playing? I could just picture that song playing. Something tells me I'm into something good.
Right.
That's Griffin and his brother splashing around in the ocean.
Splashing around, having a time. Having a time.
Something good. They're playing a little basketball, right? Little hoops.
Let's go to Rob.
Little shirt skins, right? So they don't get confused.
I'm guessing Griffin in the water wearing a T-shirt, just like Dave Rothenberg.
You think so?
Like in Rocky 3, right?
Yeah, do you wear a T-shirt in the ocean? That's how I'm curious. Let's go to Rob in Long Branch. Rob.
Man, Peter, that question was spot on. It's Friday. You got to let loose a little bit. I love it. Gentlemen. The show has been fantastic, especially the last month and the 2 o'clock start time. But I've got a hole in my body. I've got a hole in my heart.
Tell me.
I miss the soft open. The soft open.
That's funny. I haven't
disconnect. Drop. Can you guys dump what just happened and disconnect the call?
We can't please, have management hear that.
Please fix dump that. Whatever. That is the horror. Oh,
Rob,
wait,
you
know what?
You sound like a great guy, Rob, but we despise with every fiber of our being the soft open.
And guess what you get now? An hour-long soft open.
Right.
Very well said.
Yeah, 2 to 3 o'clock.
That's a good point.
Bonus time.
I mean, the move to 2 o'clock, we made a lot of sacrifices. Soft open, actually meeting every day.
A lot has changed there,
a lot
pal.
Has changed.
But we look at losing the soft open not under the heading of sacrifice.
I honestly, the second we stopped doing it, I never thought about it again.
No, I think about it every day, and I thank God that we don't have to do it anymore.
Oh,
I do well.
Now, Don, we never mentioned this on the air. You know, the other day, I brought up the idea of us having a little get-together at Michael's house.
Right. Yes.
And Michael immediately shot down the idea.
Now, Don, was I right?
Under the guise of, he said, yeah, right, like Don is ever going to make the drive to my place.
Was I right, Don?
You're absolutely
was he right?
Yes, I was right. I know this man for 20 years.
You wouldn't
but,
do
but,
it?
But Michael,
to see
that
us?
Would be, for listen, I think the meeting's important, but that's a pretty big sacrifice. But it's an hour and a half.
Well, no, hold on, though. I don't mean to do it at noon on a weekday. I mean on a weekend with some lunch and a cold brew.
Well, who's catering this? Are you paying for it?
You are.
What is it? He's not doing Yankees anymore?
We find a weekend when he has a day off.
One weekend he's got off. He wants to entertain us. So far. Every inning of every game. There has not been a day off.
You know what? I'm sorry for wanting to see you guys.
But listen, it's a great idea, Peter, in theory. But don't make me to be the bad guy that I'm not going to want to go on a – it's 3 hours in the car round trip.
Yeah, why didn't you suggest that we go to Don's house?
I mean, Michael would say no, and rightly so.
Right.
Well, why don't
I've got
go
all the same
little
amenities.
Hovel.
It's just scaled down a bit.
Why don't we go to your hovel?
Fine, you guys want to all meet here? Let's do it. It's middle
We're
ground
vaccinated.
For everyone.
Now let's. This is one of those segments you really have to towel off, especially after Griffin.
Because he was just in the pool. Horseplay with his brother.
And grab whatever.
We went in the ocean together, pushed
Peter,
each other in the water.
It was as obvious a question as how are you?
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
Question.
I'm here.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I was surprised the answer was no.
Let's shower off, please. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so Aaron Boone has answered the question. He said he went back and forth on, this is for Grifter and the previous caller. He went back and forth on first base and second base, or first base and third base. And he decided to just go this way. He didn't get very in-depth. He said there was something that he went back and forth on. All right? Is that okay for you?
I think it's perfect. Because so he was on the fence about it. So the callers, it was a legit question.
We were talking about this, Andrew and Anthony and I. I don't know in the 20 years that we've done the show that there has been any caller that has upped his game more than Griffin.
He gets it.
I used to dread Griffin calling. Now I look forward to it. I said,
You're
well, there's
pal.
A segment.
Honestly.
Well, Peter, that was magical.
Since he started kind of healing off on me,
right?
He's gotten only better.
Right. I think he's very comfortable. I think he might have met a girl along the way since he started calling.
I don't think that's enough.
No, I do. I do. I think he's very comfortable.
I think
with
he would
skin.
Have brought it up.
No, he's private. He's not splashing around the ocean just with his brother. Let's leave it at that.
Wow.
Well, he told us about his brother, not about anybody else.
Yeah, why would you leave that out?
Because we didn't ask. We have to ask now.
I thought about asking if he's splashing around with anyone else.
Yeah! Let's go to Jorge in California, who wanted fans to storm the field and chase the Houston Astros into the dugout. Jorge, you're not banned, so what do you have today?
Hey, guys. So, really good question. I have a garbage truck passing. I'm sorry to get loud. Mr. K, you're fully vaccinated, correct?
Oh, yeah, like you read about.
Peter?
Oh, sure.
Oh, so you're fully vaccinated.
Oh, so
I thought you were.
So why are we not hanging out? It's Friday night. We have the game. Mr. K is going to be in the city tonight. We're in the Bronx.
That's Peter, a great
point. I'm going to be in the city. What's stopping us from hanging out tonight, guys? Not me, obviously. You two.
That's a great point.
Because
why
never
don't,
really
get, why don't you get in your
Jorge.
Car, Peter, and we'll meet at La Caridad in the Bronx.
That's not when we talked about the new K.
Right.
Don, do you remember any times he'd say I'd come up to the Bronx?
Well, I think that that might be a good way to start. I don't think you do the Bronx that much. Like Don always jokes, I don't do Jersey. I don't think you're a Bronx guy.
I don't do the Bronx that often. I don't think I want to do that.
No, I think the way it should work is, because I don't think Peter's like starting his night at 10 o'clock anymore.
That's the hard part.
Right.
So it's about Peter going out and then texting where he is so that you can meet up with him after the game.
All right, Peter, do that tonight, all right?
All right, but it's probably going to be that I'm just in my apartment.
No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going into the city to hang out with you in a studio apartment, all right?
Studio apartment?
That's what I've been told.
No.
He's got levels and everything.
Yeah, come on.
Like Kramer. Let's go to Frank in Niagara Falls. Frank.
Hey, Michael.
Hello, Frank.
Hi, Mike. I love the show. Thanks. I listen to it every day. First time caller.
Welcome
aboard. I wanted to ask you a question about who designated Hicks as the reigning center fielder. He's been so bad last year, and he's started off really bad this year. He might be coming around a little bit, but Gardner could probably play and hit better than Hicks has been doing.
But, Frank, if you look at Gardner's average, it's lower than Hicks right now.
And he isn't playing. He's not playing. That's holding his average down, too, because he's not playing every day.
Well, they brought Gardner back to be a fourth outfielder, Frank, and the organization really thinks a lot of Hicks. They gave him a seven-year deal for $70 million. So they think that this slump right now is temporary, and he did have three hits yesterday. So I don't believe that you're going to see Hicks benched anytime soon. Let's go to Spike in Florida from New Jersey. Hello, Spike.
Spike.
Hey, fellas, first of all, have a great weekend. Enjoy everything. You guys sound like the show's funny as hell. Kid, that Griffin, you're right, boy. He's gone from the doghouse, the outhouse to the penthouse.
Penthouse, yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. Yeah, terrific, funny guy. Nick's magic number to me is 38 or 39 wins. I think you have to look into the numbers a little more. Now, if they go all or they lose the rest of their games, you responded to me, Michael, said you expected one more win. They lost to Denver. That's never happened before. With a third game in four nights where they had two clinkers in a row this year. No one's seen that. And he probably beat the hell out of them in practice. They could catch LeBron not playing. But if they hit 39, remember, Atlanta and Boston. Atlanta has only home games left. But they have a back-to-back at home, which is never done before, due to the condensed schedule against the Celtics. So it's rare that they're going to win both. But if someone wins both, someone loses both. So I'll take fourth or fifth. I don't care about the difference. Home court's not that big a deal as you guys like. So I think we'll be fourth or fifth. I think we may win one more here. Two or three, the Orlando will be a win because they're tanking. And the other one's against Boston. I tell Peter, when you're doing the Yankee game, if I'm healthy enough and Boston and Knicks in that last game are fighting for a seed, I'm coming up and taking them to the game. Lower bowl.
Lower bowl.
I did say that.
Lower bowl.
Lower bowl.
Would you go, Peter? I know you only go good seats. I know.
If it's lower bowl, yeah. I mean, I'd have to seriously consider that.
Let's go to John in Binghamton. Johnny.
Hello.
Hello.
Michael?
Yes.
Hey, I'm calling about, well, first of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
My wife and I listen to you every day, and I love Peter's T-shirt. I'm sitting here with my Carnegie Deli T-shirt on.
There you go.
Oh, Warring Delis.
But I like his.
Yeah,
I want to talk a little bit about the Giancarlo Stanton's home runs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys a couple of weeks ago were picking apart whether they were worthwhile or whatever.
Well, callers
I think
were.
That every home run that he hits or that anybody hits is very, very important. Psychologically for the player, for the team, it's a downer for the other team. Even if you're ahead 10-0 and he hits one, it just drives another nail in the coffin. So I personally believe that every home run that he hits is very important, although I know he's a streaky hitter.
Well, I mean, I'll put it this way, John. I agree essentially with what you're saying, but if you look at his recent home runs, they've all been unbelievably important home runs.
Yeah.
Was there haven't been attack on. There hasn't been attack on home run in the bunch.
No, but they were suggesting, Michael, that he wasn't clutch. That he was a compiler of home runs in meaningless times.
Right. Even they took umbrage with the six home runs he hit in the postseason.
Right. Six home runs. Think about that. So we're gonna now rate them based on what the score was at the time. Listen, he's on a streak right now, and I wouldn't be surprised, Michael, if there's going to be a few games where he doesn't hit. Buster Olney on the Clubhouse Confidential yesterday said he is totally worth the money if he's healthy. The only question is, will he stay healthy?
See the stat that Yes has up now? 12-game hit streaks with 25 or more hits and 6 or more home runs. Ruth, Gehrig did it twice, DiMaggio, and Mattingly, and now Stanton.
Yeah.
Good company, right?
That's very good company. And also not having been done since 85. It's pretty
and
good.
And they've won some championships since then.
No, he's on a tear. No question.
All right. We have an important input here. Former NYPD officer Joe Canavan from East Northport listening and weighing in, and Joe tells us, please get Griffin to call every day.
You can't, guys. You can't.
That's, what do you mean you can't? Is it be too much?
Yes.
Listen, I'm sure he's got the availability.
Officer Joe says to do it. If Griffin can call in every day.
He can.
What, you don't think he has anything going on?
He can call every day.
You think
Mike Gaffney, our resident comedian.
He's got to get through.
He tweets out, drunk passengers on that cruise were overheard saying, bro, am I seeing two identical dudes splashing each other out there? Or am I just totally wasted?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Shining Wizards Kevin's go, you can't top the Drifter. The Grifter. It's not Drifter Shining.
Wow. His name isn't Shining. It's Kevin.
It's Shining Wizards Kevin. Yeah, Wizards is his middle name. His last name is Kevin.
That's just not how it works.
That's how it works. All right, we're going to do a big reset on baseball, and Stanton's a good jumping off point. Have you come around, or do you still hate him? 1-800-919-3776, and I'll say this one thing before we go to break. I think it's important. I think it's mega important. Think about how you abuse Stanton, how you feel right now after a 12-game hitting streak, and then think about what you've been doing to Francisco Lindor. Think about it. Michael Casey on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah, what a show so far. So happy with it. I hope you are as well. All right, let's talk some Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo, no se po to parlo.
Yeah, whatever.
12-game hitting streak. He's 25 for 52. That's .481.
Sheesh.
Six homers, 11 runs batted in. Homered in three straight games. It's his longest hitting streak other than the 17-gamer that he had in 2014. He's a streaky player. But the numbers he's putting up now are well worth the price of what they're paying him. So I would ask you this. When he's playing like this, and I know what people say, he's not healthy. Okay. When he's playing like this, is he worth $22.5 million a year? Because that's what he counts against the average annual value for the Yankees. That's it. Not 30. Because the Marlins gave $50 million when they traded him here. Then the Yankees got rid of Castro, who had money coming as well. So the average annual value is anywhere from 22.5 to 24. Now, the length of the contract is not what you would want.
Well, there
But he's well worth this money. So everybody who likes says, well, he's not worth the money, he's well worth the money. Now, would it be a home run, so to speak, if he could play in the outfield? And I think he can play. I think the Yankees are just being ultra cautious, but – If he could play in the outfield, you would go out and sign this guy for that money. Because the one thing that keeps him from being one of the best players in baseball is his ability to stay on the field. And he has not had that ability the last 2 years. But remember, he and Judge have been working with Eric Cressy, and they both remain fairly healthy. Now, Judge has missed 2 games twice, and Giancarlo has been rested every now and then. But they have played a lot together, almost as much as they've played previously since Stanton came here, just in this one season. So I'm telling you what, if this guy stays healthy, you're going to look up at the end of the year, he's going to have 45 home runs and 130 runs batted in. And he also hits for average. Is he going to strike out a lot? Yeah. Is Judge going to strike out a lot? Yeah. That's part of the bargain. If you call it a Faustian bargain, that's okay. That's the bargain that the analytic crowd would take. We'll take the strikeouts as long as you hit the home run. So far, Stanton's been a great player this year, Don. Great.
He's been a great player. But, you know, when you get to the booing, I know you. It looks bad when he's this hot, right? But this is a guy that had a great series in Toronto opening day when he got here in 2017 and was booed immediately with a 4-strikeout game in his first game at Yankee Stadium. So expectations are through the roof. But I think Yankee fans, even when they boo him, realize the potential. Because if you know baseball, this guy hit 59 home runs, was a league MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't discount the injuries.
Nope, you can't.
And you also can't discount the length of the contract. He's under contract through 2027. So we're talking about 2021, in which the last 3 seasons he has not been able to stay on the field. It's probably not going to get better as he gets older. He's 31 years old. So, you know, when you talk about the contract, you're living in, all right, the money the Marlins are paying, how much is real money in 2021? And for a 31-year-old that's hitting .481 with 6 home runs, 11 RBIs, 12-game hitting streak, yeah, of course he's worth the money. But when you look at the contract, this is a guy, maybe not to the extent of Albert Pujols, Michael, but this contract is not going to age well at all. And this contract also precluded them from, you know, maybe doing other things. So that's what the Yankee fan is booing when they get on Giancarlo Stanton. So do you think a 12-game hitting streak is going to all of a sudden change the Yankee fan's perspective the next time he goes out and strikes out 4 times and they lose a game? Of course not.
But here's the deal. They shouldn't go crazy because that's part of his game. And my point is, you see during this 12-game streak, which is, you know, out of this world, what he can be when he goes off. And all you need is for him to stay healthy, and he's going to have several of these a year. And, Don, you say he signed through 2027. Time is flying. That's only 6 more years after this to the age of 37. It's not Albert Pujols to the age of 42. It's not Miguel Cabrera to the age of 43. It's to the age of 37. I think he could keep this kind of – especially if they're going to keep DHing him.
I know, but that's still – it's still a gamble. Right? I mean, there's no way, Michael, that if he was a free agent going into this season, even after the big postseason that he had with the 6 home runs, that you would give him a 6-year contract. Right? You wouldn't do it. Why would you do it?
He might get the way he played in the postseason last year, he might.
Well, but I still think it would be a silly contract to give him based on the fact that in the last 3 years – the most at-bats he had was last year with 118 at-bats. Now, granted, it was a 60-game schedule.
But the silly contract, Don, was the 13-year contract Marlins gave him.
I'm just saying, is Michael, he's red hot, and he's been terrific, all right? And I'm not completely on board with the fans hating on the guy because they were booing him the second he got here. But, you know, you could talk yourself into this being a good contract. It's not. It's not a good contract.
But it's not a terrible contract. Everybody makes out to be a terrible contract. It's not. Let's say that he plays 3 more years, right? And then wets the bet after that. The Yankees eating $22.5 million a year? I mean, is this contract better than the Jacoby Ellsbury one? They got nothing out of Ellsbury.
Well, of course.
Got 38-100 the first year the guy came here, and he was playing hurt. He carried the team to 103 wins. And then last year in the postseason, he carried the team – to the last game there, against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
I think 22.5 is perfect for this
all right.
guy.
That's fine, but you're making I think you're making a leap to say if healthy. Because you're talking about a guy that played 18 games in 2019, 23 games in 2020, and less than half the games last year. He played 27 games.
I get it.
You know, so you're saying if healthy. Yeah, I think every Yankee fan understands that when he's healthy, he's capable of doing this. If you paid attention to his career, he is a fabulous player. You don't hit 59 home runs on accident. But how do I know that as he gets older – that he is going to be able to stay healthy when the last 3 years he hasn't been. So I think every Yankee fan is appreciating this, but they're holding their breath thinking every swing, every moment's going to be where's this guy going to break down? Are we going to get a full season out of this? And that's what frustrates the fans.
It's a huge question, the health. But I guess what I'm saying, and maybe I'm not articulating it properly, when healthy, he's a beast. When healthy, this is a bargain. That I think that's what Cashman right. saw when he made the trade, the average annual value against the Yankee payroll, if this guy could be what he – I mean, remember, he got him off the MVP season. And he was dreaming on him approximating that and staying healthy. Because if you looked at him with the Marlins, you know, he missed a lot of time when he got, you know, his face bashed in by a baseball. But, you know, he remained fairly healthy for them.
Yeah.
So that's what he was dreaming on. So if he's healthy – and that's a big if. I agree, Don. It's a huge if. And I don't know if somebody would give him a six-year contract because of the previous health concerns. But you'd give him a six-year contract at $22.5 million, seeing in the way he plays right now when he's healthy.
But yeah, but you can't ignore the fact that going into this season, you know, he has not been able to play. Two seasons, Michael, he has not been able to play. 18 and 19, he was a non-entity for this team in the regular season.
You're right.
All right. And we'll see what happens here. He's played 27 games so far this year. He's been healthy. You know, he's not going to play every game. The Yankees won't let him.
No, 18, he played a lot.
18, he played 158 games. And,
right.
And if you tell me that if you could look into a crystal ball, and they're not going to tell you his stats, right?
Right.
And you see that this guy's going to play 150 games.
I'd sign up for this
every
contract.
Year. Of course you would. Because right. then I would bet that the stats are going to be astronomical and he's going to be great. But are you betting that that's going to be the case? I wouldn't. And
probably
as he gets older, you know, because we just had the conversation that when these guys go north of 35 years old, they start to lose it. You know, so you already know. Let's be honest, man. You already know the last 2 years of that contract are probably not going to be good. At 36 and 37 years old, I'm not betting this is going to be a healthy player. But this year, next year, and if there's a championship because of it, then you're not going to care.
Right, like you didn't care about A-Rod.
Right.
John Davidson released a statement through his agency, the Montag Group. It's been an honor and pleasure serving as president of the New York Rangers the past 2 years. I'm very proud of the work we've done and believe this team's future is very bright. I want to thank all the great people in the organization for their tireless and passionate work day in and day out. I first came to New York as a 22-year-old, and it has been in my blood ever since. The energy and vibrance of the city will always be something I cherish. Most of all, I want to thank you, the fans. You welcome my wife, Diana, and me with open arms, and I want to express our sincerest and most heartfelt gratitude for the tremendous love and support you've always shown us. All the best, JD.
Now, first of all, he's a classy guy. Second of all, I'm sure because he's still under contract, he can't do any interviews or tell you what's going on, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to sit down and talk to him to find out, A, what happened, and B, how he really feels about it, because I don't know if you saw you were on the game, Michael. Like, Sam Rosen had difficulty composing himself before the game last night.
Really? Wow! I didn't see
that. He's close to JD, and because all the years that they worked together, and the feeling was like, how great's this going to be that he's back with the organization? He wanted this job so badly, Michael. He wanted to be an executive. He paid his dues. He went to St. Louis. He went to Columbus with the idea that I'd love to be able to come back to the Rangers and run them. And to have it last 2 years and have the plug pulled, it's devastating to the fans. It's devastating to the people that work within the organization. I mean, you know, Dave Maloney's friendly with them. They played together. You know, Sam Rosen worked with them together forever. You know, it's heartbreaking. It really is for him. And I can't imagine what he's going through right now. And fans, I talked to some of them leaving the building, Michael. They'll get over Gordon, especially if Chris Drury does a great job. But they love JD. He's such a part of the fabric of this organization, and him coming back was a joyous thing that a lot of fans are not going to be able to forget about this.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in New Brunswick. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you? Good.
Good. Good. Mike, specifically to you, I got to be honest with you. I have a lot of respect for you, but I've been listening to you for decades now. But I got to say, I totally can't believe that you can't see how bad this offense is. It's not a good team. I'm really concerned about the Yankees. I really am. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm a pragmatic fan, but this team has the same deficiencies on offense that they had since 18, and I think that honeymoon with the 17 team is that's gone. This I think analytics failed them. I think.
Wait a minute, Mike. Wait a minute. I don't love the analytics completely either, but.
Okay.
In one of the years, Mike, they went to the sixth game of the ALCS, and Chapman gave up a homer. So when you say it failed them, yeah, did it fail them in getting a World Series? But in the last two full years the Yankees played, Mike, they won 103 games in 100 games.
Okay,
so how bad are they?
And then their offense went dark. Their offense went dark in October,
and
it will.
That's why I don't. That's why I don't love analytics.
He's built to win 160. This team is built to win 162, and then when the playoffs come, they will never hit the ball with runners in scoring position. They will never get the ball over to advance the runner. They will never get the sack fly. So I've seen this where you get hot, and then you win 15 games out of 18 against mediocre teams in bad pitching, and then when the playoffs come, they go dark, and it's like. How does this team not have a left-handed hitter in the lineup? How is that even possible?
Because he doesn't think it's important. Cashman doesn't think it's important because the right-handed hitters can reach the right field seats.
They don't, but they don't, though, and they don't make contact. I'm sorry, I love Judge. He's one of the greatest players I've seen. The guy's on the field, and the guy doesn't make contact in the big spot. He just doesn't. Sorry. And this idea that we're in Yankee Stadium, you don't have a left-handed hitter to get, or anybody to get the ball over. How is that even? It's analytics, in my opinion, has done way more harm to this team than probably any other team in baseball with the payroll that they have.
Well, you could also say, you know, the Dodgers are heavily analytic, and they didn't break through till last year. Listen, Mike, I've told you, they have to build a better engine because I'm not happy or content with saying, well, it becomes a crapshoot in the postseason. No, that's not good enough. Build something that's less of a crapshoot in the postseason. But if you look at the teams that have won the World Series the last couple of years, they have all out-homered the team that lost. So home runs don't go away in the postseason. They might be harder to get, but they don't go away, and they're still a key part of the postseason. Key part. Go to Daniel in Union. Daniel.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. You know, that last caller is my spirit animal. I agree exactly what he's saying. Michael, you're getting so hot on Stanton. I agree. He's playing out of his mind. Don't get me wrong. But let's not forget this rally started against the Orioles and the Tigers. Let's not forget that. There are many, many outfielders, or let's even say DHs, I would rather have than Stanton. He is not living up to the contract. He never will. And, you know, you keep going to the 2020 postseason. Okay, I'll give it to him. Is that going to be his mantra the rest of his life? Is he going to be 83 years old and say, hey, remember the 2020 postseason I did really well? That's not enough to justify what he's been
well,
on
you
his
can't,
team.
You can't, tell me, you can't tell me, Daniel, that the year when he hit 38 and 100, he was not worth $22.5 million. You can't say that. You sound like a smart guy. You can't say that wasn't worth that. He carried the team to 103 wins. Judge hardly played that year.
Okay, well, but when you were talking about Albert Pujols, you said, oh, in his first year out in the Angels, he was just okay. He had better stats than Stanton every year.
Mm-hmm.
Undisputed. And you said he's okay. So why is Pujols okay, but we all have to bow down to Giancarlo?
Because Pujols' body of work with St. Louis, Daniel. You don't have to bow down to anybody. If you don't like Stanton, you don't like Stanton. I'm saying that in his years in St. Louis, Albert Pujols was one of the greatest hitters who ever lived. And then he had just an okay year the first year with the Angels. And then I think the second year he had a great year. He made the All-Star game once. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, Stanton has not lived up to 59 and a National League MVP. But you must remember, at $22.5 million average annual value, he's not costing them that much when you consider the people that make right. that kind of money. I mean, look what Francisco Lindor is making with the Mets, $34.1 million a year. That's a lot more than 22.5.
But clearly the expectations and the standard is different from team to team. Like, you bring up the 2018 season, hit 38 home runs, had a phenomenal year, right? He had one home run that postseason. So that's what the Yankee fans look at. And, yeah, he had six home runs in last year's playoffs. But they didn't win. They didn't even go to the World Series. So I'm not saying it's fair. But we've talked about it many times before. And we saw it with Alex Rodriguez when he was winning MVP after MVP. This fan base doesn't care about what you do in the 162. They care about you wearing a ring at the end of the year and you being a reason why you won it.
But the hard part is, there's not always an explanation to why it doesn't work in the playoffs.
Right. No,
Sometimes
I'm with you.
Lose.
I'm just speaking the reality of the Yankee fan.
No,
Peter,
you're right.
Who says, great. I saw, but you weren't here. Alex Rodriguez was winning MVPs, Peter. He was breaking records. He was the best player in baseball. Then they fail in the postseason. It wasn't Jeter's problem.
See, but that was the key.
It was A-Rod's problem.
No, but the key then, Alex didn't perform in the postseason. Well, not only did they lose, but after they blew that 3-0 lead, he was horrendous in the postseason until 2009. That's why they jumped on him. So Daniel, who obviously doesn't like Stanton, and that's his right, and he brings up very good points, are we going to rest on the laurels of the 2020 postseason? Well, if that's all he has to show for his time with the Yankees, then it would have been a failure. But if they win a championship, you're not going to think it's a failure if he's a big part of it, like Alex.
Right.
The second 10-year contract the Yankees gave Alex, he was not worth all that money, except that he won them a championship in 2009. That made it worth it.
Now they love Alex, and that's all it takes. And they'll love Giancarlo too, but you really think a 12-game hitting streak in May is going to turn this Yankee fan base around on a guy?
No, but I think, he's lifting the skirt a little bit to tell you how great he can be.
Right. And the Yankee fan's going to say, okay, I'm not going to give you applause yet. Let's see you do it. And Michael, he can end up getting a hit in every game he plays in between now and the end of the season. And if he doesn't do it in the postseason and they don't win, it's not going to change their mind. I'm not defending their feeling on that. I'm just saying that that's how they're thinking.
Now, let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi.
Yesterday was
a question. We go back to 2006. With an 8-5 victory over the Rangers, Joe Torre joins Joe McCarthy, Casey Stengel, and Miller Huggins as the fourth Yankee manager to win at least 1,000 games. The Yankee skipper has compiled a 1,645 record during his 11-year tenure with the team. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's this day in Yankees history. Brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
Yeah, you weren't here for yesterday, Michael.
Well, I was on the earth, but I wasn't on the show.
Well, that goes without saying. Yeah.
Was in 1915 in a game against the Yankees. Babe Ruth hit his first big league home run.
Right. I actually gave that on the game.
Now, the Yankees won the game, and it did happen at a Yankee game, but is it a moment in Yankee history? That's
no,
the question.
Because he did it for the Red Sox. It's a
terrible job. So you want to skewer Andrew
God
right now.
God hates me.
Now, I put it. I left it up to Peter, and Peter said he thought it was fine.
I just support it.
I think it's an embarrassment.
You'll ruin everything.
But we don't know what it was up against.
I still think it's an embarrassment. That's a better way to go. Anyway, let's towel off. 1-800-919-3776. Stanton is the new A-Rod, is the new Knicks. You talk Stanton, you can't get in a phone call. You can't squeeze in another call here. You just can't.
Right, you wanted to relate it to Lindor, and you didn't get a chance to do that.
No, because people like talking Stanton, like Griffin likes talking Button.
Stanton.
1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I hit the mute button on my phone.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.